So I, without getting into it, I can take a look at it again, but I, the reward that we'll get for putting in time and energy now, everyone's going to have an opportunity. Do you have something? Yeah.
Sorry, I was just chuckling a little bit because it's so hard to be careful of the language because you said earn salvation, said reward.
That's why I backtracked real quick. The salvation's not the reward. Salvation is the gift.
Yeah, yes. It's hard to get straight. But, I mean, I completely agree with what you said. That parable that Kayla mentioned is about salvation, where we all get the same outcome in that regard, regardless of, you know, first or second resurrection, whereas, you know, the parable of the minas and also the talents show that there are different levels of reward according to what we do with what God gives us now.
Yeah. All right, the second resurrection. So, the second resurrection. This is the big question. What about those who never had an opportunity to hear the truth? Those who have never heard the truth. No understanding. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Flip over there with me. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Are they going to have part of the first resurrection? If you don't know the truth of God, can you take part in the first resurrection? No. No, you can't. You can't. And right here, we clearly see the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. So what happens? How can we comfort people? How are we comforted knowing that people don't, who don't know the truth actually have a chance? They'll have an opportunity. That's why we need multiple resurrections, right? The second resurrection, it's also known as the general resurrection. A lot of you guys had that on your test. The general resurrection or the great white throne judgment. Acts 4:12 reads, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So there's only one name, right? It has to be through Jesus Christ. Everything we've gone through with doctrine and some of the other classes we've touched on, hit on, it's through Christ. It's through Christ's sacrifice, the way he lived his life, what he was for us. That's the only way. So without that understanding, without acknowledging the sacrifice he made for us, we can't take part in that first resurrection. So all of these people along the way, they didn't really have a chance. They didn't have an opportunity because they don't know the truth. We're the first resurrection, we read, they're going to always be with the Lord. Always be with the Lord. The first resurrection, those are the ones who finished their race. They've made it to the point where they become part of the God family. It's not the end of our job, but it's the end of our race. What's really cool is once we get to that point, we'll have an opportunity to help all the others run their race. We'll be like the people at the water stations handing out water. Anybody ever run races? The longer races, you have little booth setups. They either hand out water or juice. Some snacks, the flying pig, every single mile, there was a different group that had different things. Some of them were really weird. I can talk to you later about that if you want to know. But sometimes you run by, you're like, what? What is this? A wet wipe? I don't care about the dirt on my face right now. We'll get to help them. We need to help teach them God's way. Help guide them through. All right, so let's take a look at Revelation again. Bounce back there for the second resurrection. Let's help set the time frame as to when it is. So we know the first resurrection was at the beginning of the 1,000 years. Revelation 20. If we look at verses 7 through 12. 7 through 12. So right at 7, it says, "Now, when the 1,000 years have expired..." So it's at the end of that 1,000-year period, right? "Now when the 1,000 years have expired." So we understand that first resurrection can't be... So we went through a couple of scriptures talking about how it can't be chronologically in order. The first one can't be at the end. So we know we've gone back, looked at other scriptures. It's going to happen at Christ's return at the beginning of those 1,000 years. This one, now... when the 1,000 years have expired. Let's look at verses, I think 11 and 12. So 11 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." All right, so let's break this apart. Let's try to figure this out. What is this? So there's books open. What do we think those books are? Go ahead, Michelle. What?
The Bible.
The Bible, yeah. We got all the books of the Bible. That's the... where we get all of our knowledge from, right? That's the understanding. What's this meaning? So the Bible's open to them. It means they're actually going to understand, right? They're going to finally understand what the Bible means, what God's way of life is. God's opening their eyes to that. They're finally having an opportunity to actually understand and have some sort of knowledge as to what his lifestyle is, what he expects of us. Then we have a second book, or I guess not a second book, but a single book reference, the Book of Life. This is referencing that these people are going to be given an opportunity. They're going to be given an opportunity to be listed with the people who have been saved already. So they'll have an opportunity for eternal life, to be immortal at that point. It's not going to be instant, though. It's not going to be, wake them up from the dead. Did you believe in Christ? You're either condemned or you have eternal life. It's going to be a process. There's going to be a learning curve. That's why the books of the Bible are open to them, so they can understand. It's going to be a length of time. They're going to be evaluated over some period of time. Going to be given a chance to learn and understand. It's not going to be instant condemnation at that point. They're not going to be risen in the second resurrection and it's you either believed in Christ or you didn't. They're going to be given time to actually understand God's word. Let's flip over to Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. It says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Written in heaven. We're going to talk about this book of life. That's what we're going to go through a couple different scriptures talking about this book of life. Philippians 4 and 3, verse 3 says, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Whose names are in the book of life. And then Revelation 3, verse 5 says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." We keep saying that book of life, the book of life over and over again. Having our name written there. I want to point out one little piece here. Right in the middle it talks about, "I will not blot out his name I would not blot out his name from the book of life. What can we understand this to be? What is this idea? Nathan?
You have a guarantee of being in his kingdom.
Yeah, it's the idea. He wants everybody, right? He wants everybody to be a part. Everyone has a chance, an opportunity. He's not just wanting those he's calling at this point in time. He wants to include all of mankind. I think that's why he's got this plan. He's set up a plan to where more people will be on board with his way of life than any other path, any other direction. Pala. Predestination. Okay, so this blotting out is after actions that you've done. It's not saying that these people are automatically going to have their names blotted out. It's going to be whether or not they learn. So it talks about them having an understanding of the truth and of God's way of life. This is going to take place at the end when they decide whether they're going to commit their lives to God or whether they're going to turn away. It's not, Dr. Britt?
Yeah, so I was just going to add that it also shows that just because your name is in the book of life doesn't mean that it stays in the book of life. Like you were saying, it does depend on what you do. So as it relates to predestination, this would show pretty well, I think, that it's not like God has a roster of everybody who's going to be saved and those who aren't, and it's strictly set in stone and predetermined for all time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's more along the lines that everybody's in there. Everybody's included at this point, and then it's our actions that are going to take us out of that. It's not that he's determined beforehand who's in and who's not. I think it's everybody's included. So, got two more talking about the book of life. Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, not written, but not been written in the book of life. And then Revelation 21:27. But there shall be no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So we see this over and over again, that they're going to have to make a change in their lives. Once it's this idea of what's expected of them from God, what God's requirements are of how we should live, who we should be. We're being those lights today. We're being the examples today. They're still going to need to be examples. They're still going to need to live the same way that we're living today. And they're going to be able to determine whether they're in the book of life or not. They're going to have that chance. They're going to have that opportunity. So how do we understand that this resurrection is going to be to a physical life? Over in Ezekiel 37, if you want to flip over there. Ezekiel 37, this is where we get our basis of the second resurrection as to a physical life. So the first resurrection was spirit. So here we have it talking about the valley of dry bones, okay? So Ezekiel 37. It starts and says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these dry bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So this is where we understand. It's a physical resurrection. Bones being put back together. Graves being opened. So in the first resurrection, when the graves were opened, it was the spirit. Those who had died in the faith met Jesus Christ in the clouds. This resurrection is based on physical flesh coming back together. Bones and flesh, skin covering it. It's all fleshly. Billions of people who've lived over many different time periods are going to have an opportunity to come back, to be resurrected to a physical form where they have an opportunity to understand God's way of life. They're going to understand what the Bible is. We're going to be there to help them. We're going to be able to be there to guide them, help them get to a point that we all have gotten to, understanding that this way of life is the only way of life. It's the only way of life. Matthew 11, verse 20 through 22. It says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works have been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. It's going to be easier for Tyre and Sidon. More tolerable. Everyone's going to have a chance. Those who didn't know, right? That's the big key. It's a second chance at physical life, right? So this is a second chance at physical life, but it's the first chance of salvation. The first chance of salvation, because they didn't know the truth. They didn't understand the truth. That's why it correlates here in Matthew 11. It's their first chance at true salvation, even though it's their second physical life. Does that make sense to everybody? Because that's key. That's a key element to this, is that it's not a second opportunity. It's not a second opportunity at living God's way. If we understand it and we turn away from it, That is not what this general resurrection is referring to. This general resurrection is all based on whether or not they understood, whether or not they had heard. There's a lot of people out there who've never even heard of Jesus Christ. Never understood any, probably never even seen a Bible. Those are the ones that are going to come up in this second resurrection. They're the ones who are going to be given an opportunity. Matthew 10 says, "Whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." It's still hitting on that same thing. Those who know, there's a higher expectation. Those who know and understand, they're not going to get a chance. They're not going to get a second chance. Their chance is now. Anybody who has the real truth is now. Flip over to 2 Peter. We could have turned here earlier, but I wanted to wait till now just to make this point of this general resurrection and why God's given everybody an opportunity. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but it is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." All should come to repentance. He's wanting everybody. He's not giving up on anybody yet. He's not ruling anybody out yet. He's wanting everybody. For those who have never even heard of Jesus Christ or seen a Bible, that's not fair to cut them off right there, right? So God has created steps. He's created a plan that can include everyone. So Jesus Christ with the saints are going to teach. They're going to help people understand the knowledge. They have this time period. We're not given a specific, well, we are kind of given a specific, but we don't, it's not correlated one-to-one year over year. I think I have it in my notes here in a minute. But it's this understanding that God does want everybody. He wants all of His children. He doesn't want to leave anybody out. He wants to give everybody an opportunity to be part of the God family. Let's take a look at John 5:29. We'll get into understanding this. That it's a process, that they're not going to be resurrected just to either condemn them or give them eternal life. It's a process. John 5, verse 29 says, "And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." And then verse 30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So this word for judgment here, judgment, is krisis. Krisis. And it doesn't just mean a judging as far as a final outcome of, like I said, the resurrection, they're not going to be resurrected and judged immediately. This word here, it's a process. It's a process of investigation. Okay? It's a process of investigation. It's giving them time. It's giving them time to learn God's way, an understanding. It's not an immediate action as soon as they're resurrected. It's going to be a process, a learning curve. They'll be given ample time to make a choice. Just like we have now. We've made a choice now to dedicate our lives to learning, studying, living as close as we can to Jesus Christ's example, living as close as we can to following God's way, being that light, being an example. We're having this lifetime now. They're going to get the same thing. It's not just an immediate judgment, not an immediate condemnation. It's a process of investigation. So this is a big question that comes up. How long is this period? How long of a period of time do these people in the general resurrection have to learn? So we have an we have some mention of this over in Isaiah. Isaiah 65. Verses 17 through 25. So this is a possibility. This is a possibility of how much time is given. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children in trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So right there in the middle, we get a little glimpse of how long this may be. A lot of people assume that it's not going to be an official 100 years and that's the end. It's just a lifetime. This is representative of a lifetime. What a normal period of how long we live. I mean, it says 100 years. It may flat out be 100 years. We're just not really given ample details as to how long. But this is one possible mention of how long it's actually going to be. How that process, that judgment process, right? So they're going to be judged during that entire time of their lives, of what they're growing and developing and understanding. All right, so summary, characteristics of the second resurrection. Number one, it doesn't take place until after the 1,000 years are over. First resurrection's at the beginning. Second resurrection's at the end of the 1,000 years. Number two, it is a resurrection to mortal life, physical life. Number three, God will give those in the resurrection the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit and receive eternal life. They'll have an opportunity. They'll have an opportunity to change, to grow. Number four, though they will have a second mortal life, they will have their first opportunity for salvation. So even though it's their second physical life, it is only their first chance at understanding God's truth. Does that make sense, everybody? dry cut between the first and the second. Straightened out on those two. Everybody good? Any questions? Comments? Concerns? No? All right. Third resurrection. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. Hop back to Revelation. So we've used that to define the first two. So let's go back to Revelation 20 again. So this is going to take place near the conclusion of God's revealed plan for mankind. Revelation 20, verse 13. Says, if I can find 13. All right, 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and Hades, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Each one according to his works. What's this mean? We're given two different inanimate objects here, right? Let's go ahead and read 14 and 15 with it while we're here. So it says, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is this a little tricky for anybody? It's a lot in here, right? Death, Hades, trying to iron this out. So let's take a look at this. So John here is describing two inanimate objects, right? So we have death, we have Hades as being cast into the lake of fire. So we can look at this and we can understand that number one, this is signifying the termination of death, right? Signifying the termination of the grave. Because we understand that the grave is just a holding place, right? It's a place of inactivity for us. When we die, we're kind of in a sleep state. It's just a place of inactivity. So this is signifying that there's going to be an end to death. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. It'll help make this point. I'll give you a nice scripture reference if you ever need it for this. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So it's that state of inactivity. Nothing else going on. No knowledge, no wisdom. You're just in the grave. What about the other one? What about Hades? So the grave as well as the destruction of death. This one, I have a reference for this one too. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 15, it reads, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. That will be destroyed is death. So we won't ever have to deal with that anymore, right? It will no longer be relevant. At the third resurrection, there's going to be a destruction. There's going to be a destruction of those who oppose God, who oppose His way of life, who oppose living that way. It's just going to be death. It's just going to be destruction. And it's all going to be based on a willingness, right? Because we talked about people who willingly turn away from God. Those who stuck to the faith, they're resurrected in the first resurrection to spirit life. They're part of the God family. general resurrection. They're given a period of time. They have the understanding finally. They're working on the knowledge through a process of a lifetime to understand God's way. So they can either willingly, willfully accept or reject it. So it's a choice that everybody must make. Everybody will have a chance, an opportunity to make it. Danielle?
Could you clarify for Revelation 20, 11 through, like that section on the Great White Throne Judgment? So are you splitting up those scriptures for part of it as the second resurrection and the other part as the third?
Are
they both part of the Great White Throne after the 100 years?
Yeah. So that first, starting in 11 where it's talking about the Great White Throne Judgment, so that's part of that second resurrection, okay? So that's going to be, because they're having a chance. That judgment period that they're receiving is going to be how they're living their lives. Once they're resurrected, once their eyes are open to the truth and knowledge, they're going down a path of basically a lifetime to understand, to adapt and change, and either commit to living God's way or not. As it gets farther down, so that's where it starts in verse 11, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. So we read all that for the second resurrection. And then starting in 13, it talks about the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. So this is that. This is the ones who chose not to, these are the ones that chose to oppose God, who did not follow the life that God requires. That's what this point's getting to. It's alluding to that there'll be an end to it. So there's other two scriptures that I gave you talking about that'll be the end. Once the final death occurs, earlier when we were going through the first resurrection, it talks about after you're resurrected, the second death has nothing. I forget the exact words, but it talks about the second death won't impact us, right? So that second death, so these people have been resurrected to a second life, the second death is going to be just destruction. So yeah, it's basically separating the two out. So in order for those who actually opposed God to be destroyed, they're going to have to be resurrected, right? They're going to have to be brought back to life in order for them to be destroyed. So that's how we get to the third resurrection. So first resurrection, you have people being changed to spirit, but there's also going to be those who actually understood the truth and chose a different lifestyle and died, right? Does that help? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was just trying to get clarification on kind of like the timeline there, like the Great White Throne, that 100-year period where they're being judged there, so they're actually judged at the end of it, and then there's the third, or if it's that kind of at the same time, that was what I was wondering, so.
Yeah, so it's...
It didn't seem totally clear in the scripture, so...
Yeah, so it's kind of tricky because you'll have some who died during this life who chose to oppose God now. So when they're resurrected, they're going to be resurrected to death because they did have a chance now. They did have an opportunity. That judgment's going to be made by Christ as to what, how much knowledge they had now. So that judgment period is going to start with that second resurrection, but there's still basically a judgment once that third resurrection happens too. It's just the final judgment at that point. So it's kind of two different judgments, but it's that same period of time. Does that raise any other questions, Kerr?
So those that would be in the millennium and those that would be in the second resurrection, and you say that they would live like the normal lifespan of a person. Would they die, or once they have completed their mortal, would they be instantly be turned to a saint or a spiritual?
It's one of those things that we don't know. Yeah, I've heard both sides of it. That some people believe that once they get to a point, God knows our hearts. They know everything about us, our thoughts. They know every detail about us, what we truly think and feel. Some people believe that during that process that they're learning and that they're growing and developing, that they may receive it at the point where they are committed and agree to live that style, lifestyle. Dr. Britt, did you hear the question? So what happens during the millennium while people are learning as to when they become spirit? I was telling her that, you know, there's different theories out there, but we don't have anything concrete. Have you heard any other theories other than when God deems that they are committed, or once they're resurrected, of living a lifestyle? Have you heard any other? Danielle?
I was just going to say, in Isaiah 65, just when I read it, it seems like it says the child shall die 100 years old. So it does seem like in that period that they do, it's kind of like you do live and die, but they're not going to die early. They're right. going to live their full life. And then they would, there's a judgment period, it seems like, and then they would come to that last resurrection, either unto death or...
Yeah, that's the way I've always leaned. And it coincides with this third resurrection too, and having this judgment period at the end of at the third resurrection as well, is because that does make it sound like they're going to live a lifetime and then die. So for me personally, it just correlates in line with the first, second, and third resurrection, that judgment period between the second and third is still happening, and that's what I lean towards, but it's not clear cut. Paula?
What if they will be resurrected to death? Is death the same as the lake of fire?
Is death what?
The same
as the lake of fire. So death is going to be the lake of fire? So the whole reason for having this third resurrection is those who have lived a life now and have not, if they've known God's way of life now and they choose to oppose that, they're going to have to be resurrected at some point, right? So if they understand God's truth and they still deny it during this life, then they're going to have to fall somewhere in here. So the first one's for those who still held the faith. The second one's going to be for those who never had a chance. And so the third one's where that category falls in. So they're going to be resurrected and cast into the lake of fire, which is the destruction. So, yeah, that's where that happens. Here's a couple scriptures kind of getting on that, Paula, these certain conditions. So Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again themselves for the Son of God and put him to an open shame." And then Hebrews 10, 26 through 27 says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries." So that's getting on what will happen, what this third resurrection is, what the outcome of the people who choose not to follow God. All right, so the characteristics, we got like 1 minute, so let's run it. We've got two slides left. Characteristics of the third resurrection. Number one, it's a resurrection to death. Number two, the unrepentant, wicked are in this resurrection and they will be burned up. It's not going to be an everlasting torture or torment. It's a fire. It's just going to be destruction. An incineration. And number three, this is the second death. So that is the second death. And then the last summary that you have in your slides, it kind of just recaps all three of them together. It's basically what those summary points were. Number one, the first resurrection is only for the dead in Christ. It's a resurrection to immortality. And there you go. I won't keep you any longer. James?
The final line.
It says, it says, "Judgment on the wicked who will be destroyed along with the earth." On the wicked who will be destroyed along with the earth.